Welcome to Fresh from the Field Fridays by the Produce Industry Podcast, your weekly download on supply trends, category updates, brand awareness, and what's hot in the market. Join us each week from San Francisco Bay, California, as we cover all aspects of the produce supply chain industry. Ladies and gentlemen, here's your host, Dan, the Produce Man.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Fresh from the Field Fridays on this lovely, lovely Friday here in the San Francisco Bay Area. Dan, the Produce Man, here with you. And today's Fresh from the Field Fridays is brought to you by the Produce Industry Podcast and sponsored by Buck Naked Onions, Equifruit, the only banana you should buy, Sunray Snack with Impact, oh yes folks, and Bell Harvest with all their fantastic apple varieties, Fujis and Galas and Honey Crisps and so much more. Bell Harvest is more than just a apple grower, a distributor. Check out bellharvest.com today and get your apple a day. Right, folks. St. Patrick's Day weekend. And although it's an American Irish holiday thing, we are stepping into La Cucina di Vera with Vera Cimette. Vera, she was with me before, and now she's here again. We're going to talk about, hey, the Emerald Ball. So many things you can do with cabbage, not just your standard, ordinary things, but a little more exciting things as well. Vera, welcome to Fresh from the Field Fridays.
It's so great to be back. Hi, Dan.
Hello, Vera. And you're right here live in the studio with me, which I love. Why don't we first tell folks what your Instagram is and a little bit about your culinary background, because you've got quite a bit.
Right. Again, thank you for having me back. It's La Cucina, CucinaDiVera at Instagram. My culinary background is a lifetime of cooking with my mom and my grandmother, both from Italy. So I'm first generation. They came to America and we grew up humbly, but very satisfied with eating everything in season, making everything from scratch, and enjoying the bounty of the backyard. But from there, I've taken many, many culinary classes and became a culinary instructor. So I've taught everywhere, and I'm still teaching. I do classes, I do one-on-one, I do group classes, I do work professionally for school districts with their administrative staff and teachers to teach them quick, fresh, easy, delicious, nutritious, everyday meals. And of course, slow food is what brought us together, Dan,
sure,
and our working together years and years ago. And Slow Food International is a movement that's just anti-fast food. And it's over, right? And it's over 30 years old, which is, I guess, what brought us together and why I'm here today. Last time I was here, I talked everything butternut squash, and it was winter time, and I got so much feedback about the spin that I brought on to what you can do with the butternut squash.
Yes.
And I went to Italy for the holidays, and my family were talking about the butternut squash steaks, and it was hysterical.
Oh, that's great.
It's great. So
well,
your podcast was heard internationally.
Oh,
right?
Yes. It's we have listeners all over the world.
And now you have more from Italy.
Awesome.
Okay, so let's talk St. Patrick's Day and cabbage.
Yeah, let's do that.
Italians don't celebrate St. Patrick's Day, but as you
what?
Know, I have a great feast for any holiday or not. But St. Patrick's Day is something that I love to cook once a year. And for years, I did it the traditional, you know, corned beef, boil the cabbage, the potatoes and the carrots. And then one day I decided to start experimenting. So
for all of you
who are going to make corned beef and cabbage this weekend for St. Patrick's Day, I want to give you some ideas on how to do it. So we're going to talk about braising and frying and roasting and air frying and oven baked. Forget boiling. Unless you're true to your Irish genes, there are so many better things to do with the green cabbage that my guests now don't even want to eat the cabbage anymore. That's boiled.
Oh,
with
who
the
wants
tomatoes
to eat that?
And the potatoes.
What was
right.
it? Smothers Brothers used to sing, "Boil that cabbage down." Maybe it's an older song than that. But you know something, Vera? Back when I was doing the Produce Pair radio show with my good buddy Guido the Gardener, that show was on the Talk America Radio Network. But we also started streaming, early days of streaming online. And we got a call in from a guy from Ireland who said, "We don't eat corned beef and cabbage on St. Patrick's Day. We eat chicken and red potatoes." And he says, that's all an American Irish thing. It's not a true Irish thing. So I thought, okay, that's good information, you know, and we were happy that way back then, what was that, 20, what year is this? 20, geez, like 26 years ago, 27 years ago, that someone was actually listening in another country. That was it. So here we are in the United States of America with corned beef and cabbage, I guess created by Irish immigrants that were here. That were, salt pork and bacon and different things. A lot of poverty in the older days when they first came over, and they were throwing together what they could. And so it's my understanding that's where the corned beef and cabbage came from.
Probably, just like the Italian immigrants created things here that then got Americanized, like marinara sauce. I mean, you go to Italy, you don't find marinara sauce, right? But that's what everybody calls it here. And the Italians are like, oh my, oh deal. We don't use that word. Anyway, okay, so cabbage you can get year-round. And cabbage has gone up in price, but it's so versatile. And the farmer's market is plentiful with it. And I've noticed that there's really not much of a significant difference between the price of organic and not organic. Now, you know that I buy everything organic, but it's pennies per pound. A huge, big head of cabbage could cost as much as $10 if it's one of those really big ones. But for $10, you can eat five different things for five different nights in your house. I mean, it's such a worthy investment.
And it's so good for you, too.
It's so good for you. Let's start with the outer leaves. If you don't know what to do with those beautiful outer leaves.
Well, now you have really, I mean, you've captured my culinary heart so many years before, Vera. But you know what? Now you're talking about something that we used to get packed in the boxes of cabbage. In the old days, and then in the old days, I'm talking 70s and 80s, folks. It's not that long ago. Well, maybe it was. But cabbage would come packed in the boxes with these big, beautiful outer leaves on them. And if we wanted to trim them down, we couldn't. But it made such a beautiful display. And they were so good. So, yes.
They were so good because you could make stuffed cabbage. Now, I remember my mother and my grandmother cooking so much cabbage that we got sick of it. But it was always delicious. My mom would make this dish where she would chop up a whole cabbage. She'd saute a garlic. Everything was from the garden. Saute a garlic and some olive oil. Chop up a cabbage. Cut up a carrot. Throw everything into a big sauce pot. Add about a half a cup of water. Some salt. Close the lid. I mean, it melted in your mouth.
Yes.
I make it to this day. Not a month ago, a friend of mine got a head of purple cabbage, and I call it a radicchio, but it was truly a purple cabbage, red cabbage, in her, the produce box, whatever that's called, that comes, the vegetable box. That
sure, the CSA box.
The CSA box, thank you. I couldn't think of it because I don't subscribe to any. So she said, "What do I do with this?" And I gave her the recipe, and she said it changed her life because that recipe was so good. But it was my mom's recipe.
Yeah.
You know, 50, 60 years ago. Then my mother would, of course, make coleslaw. She made it her way. So let's get started on this. We buy a huge head of cabbage, buy some ground beef, get a can of tomatoes, some grated cheese, an egg, cook up all your ingredients, make like a meatball type filling. You blanch the outer leaves just till they're beautiful and vibrant. Then you dip them in cold water and you dry them off. And you roll up about a handful of ground beef mixture, fold it up nice like a diaper, and lay them all into some sort of a baking dish, and pour sauce on it with some cheese and bacon. Voila. It's beautiful. It's a healthy take on lasagna. Those are the outer leaves. Let's get to the inside.
Real quick, that stuffed cabbage recipe is very similar to an Armenian stuffed cabbage recipe with the similar filling that you would get in a dolma.
Yes, right.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
But getting the outer leaves, you mentioned the farmer's market earlier. It's hard to find the outer leaves in your average grocery store. Some have them, some produce stands have them.
I don't know. And I've then, never seen them.
Well, yeah, and the major chains don't because everything's trimmed down and the whole bit. But the farmer's market and certain little stores like the one I used to have, and we have those here in our area.
Yes.
You can find them, but mainly it's the farmer's market.
Well, it's just like when we talked about butternut squash, the entire thing is edible. And so there's so many fruits and vegetables that we have that people don't realize. Even though, for instance, I just bought some radishes at the farmer's market. Those are edible. I mean, the leaves. The
sure,
of the
and
radishes.
Juiceable, too, if you're a juicer.
Yes, yes. And so there's just so much waste, and we don't want to get into that. We want to get back to the cabbage. Okay. So we're making stuffed cabbage rolls with the leaves. And then let's talk about St. Patrick's first, and we'll come back to some other things.
All right.
So beautiful head of cabbage has a beautiful base on it. It's the little hard core, so it stands flat on your cutting board. So easy to slice so that you don't hurt yourself. And you just start cutting from one end to the next, one inch wedges. Oil several baking sheets and lay those beautiful fillets of cabbage on the baking sheets flat. Drizzle with olive oil, and you can drizzle also flavorings. If you want to use garlic salt, if you want to use cayenne, if you want to drizzle some soy sauce, sprinkle some Parmesan cheese, a little bit of pepper.
Yeah.
There's so many things you can put on. I suggest the first time, oil and salt and pepper, because then you can season them as you eat
them. Sure, right. Then you can.
And you put them into a hot oven, 425, 450 for 20 minutes, and you flip them. The more burnt and caramelized they get, the better. That is the only way I serve my corned beef. The first time my guests
really?
Had that.
Really? Okay.
That's the only way I do it for St. Pat's Day. It's beautiful. You've retained all the nutrients.
Right.
You haven't boiled them out. It's not mushy and bitter. The caramelizing of that cabbage with a little bit of salt. And as I said, you can then drizzle. You can let it get cold and put salad dressing on of your choice.
Sure. Yeah, and
cheese.
I've done that before.
Yes.
With it left over.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
Throwing it into the salad.
Throw it into
a
salad. So I urge all of you as you're prepping your St. Patrick's Day dinner, buy two heads of cabbage, because when you make that, it tastes actually better than the rest of the dish.
I bet.
And it's so pretty. It makes such a beautiful centerpiece for then your guests and your family to have their corned beef. And those the carrots roasted in the oven.
Well, do you roast those with the cabbage?
I roast those with the cabbage, wedging them in between and separately.
Okay.
Potatoes are best with the meat. They just,
they
work better.
Sure, sure.
With the salt and the flavoring.
Okay.
But if you're boiling your corned beef, again, I make this once a year, so I kind of do the corned beef the traditional way in water, but the rest of it, into the oven it goes. You just don't ever want to eat boiled cabbage that way. So then I talked about my mom braising it with carrots, and the sweetness of the carrot really adds to the beautiful richness and the little bit of bitterness of the cabbage.
Yeah, but the cabbage, the sweetness, there's sweetness in cabbage too.
Yes, it is naturally
and so
sweet.
Caramelizing it like that should bring that
to the surface.
Perfect.
When you're boiling it though, the carrots, boiling or braising it, the carrots add something. I like red pepper flakes, peperoncino in that dish. So then year round tacos, year round summer, year round slaw. Doesn't get any easier than that. You don't need fancy equipment. You just fine dice cabbage. Don't use the whole thing. Cut off as much as you want to make, and then add your rice wine vinegar, your sesame oil, olive oil, some lime, salt, sesame seeds, whatever you want. Carrots, you can shred a carrot.
This is for a coleslaw.
This is for a coleslaw.
So you didn't mention mayonnaise. So
no
mayonnaise.
No,
huh?
No mayonnaise.
So okay, wait, let's see. Rice wine vinegar. And then you said olive oil. And what else? Actually?
Soy sauce. Sesame oil.
Toasted or untoasted?
Toasted.
Okay.
Now we're talking about a tablespoon or two of both.
Okay. Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Because you don't want to sog it down.
Right, a big, huge bowl, is you're only going to use a tiny bit. Because once you add all of that to the coleslaw and you toss it and it sits, it draws out liquid.
Right.
So you're going to think this is not enough dressing. It is more than enough dressing, a couple of tablespoons of each.
Now, what other spices?
Celery seed is wonderful
in
that.
Yes, absolutely.
Celery seed just really does something. Sesame seeds. And then really no other spices. Then you add fresh herbs, cilantro. If you don't have cilantro, use parsley. You can even use fresh dill.
Oh, okay.
Carrots you shred. You could finely chop up or dice up a red pepper. You can put celery in there. Celery, cut up some celery. Onion doesn't work well except for green onions at the end.
Yeah, the green part of the green onions. Yeah, sure.
And that is coleslaw and taco slaw to die for.
Wait a minute. Now, you mix all that up in the bowl, and then how long do you let it sit for?
Half an hour at least.
At room temperature.
Yes.
Before you eat it.
And lime. Don't forget the lime juice.
Lime juice.
Right.
Okay. How much lime juice? Like half a lime?
One lime.
One lime. So all this mixed up like that. And then what if you have some left over, you got to put it in the refrigerator. So what does that do to it?
Right. Yeah, I would take tongs and scoop it out of all the liquid at the bottom. Put it in a container. It's good for 2 days.
Will that liquid work as a salad dressing later on if you want?
I haven't tried that. But after 2 days, that little coleslaw starts turning into a kimchi.
Ferments and it becomes...
It starts fermenting. So it won't last more than 2 days. No mayonnaise.
Sauerkraut.
We don't use that in our family too much.
Okay.
I don't use it at all. The nice thing about this slaw that tastes like it has mayonnaise in it is that you can add some Dijon mustard too. People like it that way. Makes it a little creamier. You don't have to worry about it. You getting sick if you take it out. You put it out for a picnic.
Yeah, okay.
That can sit on your counter during a party 4, 5, 6 hours. It's not going to go bad.
It's pretty much never going to go bad.
So 100%
vegan.
Skip the mayo. Skip the mayo.
You know, that sounds really good. I'm going to try that with those two heads of cabbage I showed you. And real quick, because we got to take a break, but I want to let folks know, you know, right now there's a lot of cabbage on sale, and there's a lot of light, puffy heads of cabbage in the store. They're less compact, so they're light. If they're selling them by the pound, they're not going to cost that much. If you can find heavier, more compact cabbages, you're going to get more out of it. And those tend to also to be the sweeter heads. A lot of things cause a light and puffy cabbage to grow that way. Different watering systems, lack of this, lack of that, but or varieties as well. So you'll see both of those in the stores right now, and they'll be trimmed down. I want to talk more about these cabbage recipes with Vera Cimette, La Cucina di Vera on Instagram, and we'll be right back.
In the morning, I always pour a cup of coffee and grab a banana. Before Equifruit, I never thought twice about how my banana was farmed. And now that I'm a banana badass, I care about fair trade, which ensures fair pay, gender equity, and safe working conditions. This is why Equifruit is the only banana you should buy.
Everyone, we have an APB out on a buck naked onion. This onion is produced by Owyhee Produce, so we have to be on the lookout. Whether you're a retailer, food service distributor, or a wholesaler, this onion is whole, it's hearted, and it's a buck naked, everyone. To all you civilians out there, please, let's catch this buck naked onion.
I love grapes.
Whoa, what's this?
Dude, that's a snack with impact.
Wait, what?
You know, Sunrays. They are the snack with impact. All their grapes and mandarins are certified, sustainably grown, so you know the planet and people are being taken care of. And they make a donation to save the children with every package packed so kids can thrive around the world.
No way. So every time I have Sunray's grape or mandarin, I'm making the world a better place?
Duh. That's why they call it the snack with impact.
Aha! That makes me want to dance the jig. Vera Cimette is with us here in the Fresh from the Field Friday studio, La Cucina di Vera. Definitely check out the Instagram. Are you anywhere else on the
Facebook
web?
And that's actually it.
Yeah, okay. Culinary instructor. And right now we're talking about St. Patrick's Day cabbage. And yes, there's potatoes and carrots, and we mentioned some other things, but you have some other items that go well with cabbage as well, right, Vera?
Right. And I want to just affirm what you were saying before the break about the cabbage. You really want cabbages that are hard and full and compact. They shouldn't give when you squeeze them. They need to be hard. And the soft ones, Dan, that is a good point that you brought up. I don't know why that is the case either, but they're not that good. Seems to me that they must be genetically modified to turn out that way.
It's growing conditions.
Oh.
It's varieties that cause these looser, puffier heads. There's several varieties of cabbage. Here in the United States, you got Arizona, California all year long, but Colorado, Florida, Georgia, Michigan, New York year-round, which blew my mind, North Carolina, Texas, very big on cabbage in Texas, Washington, Wisconsin, Canada, and Mexico. These are commercial major production, cabbage production states. So it's very interesting, but you have to remember that each one of these states, even though it's all here in the United States, have different weather patterns and climates, so different varieties are bred to grow in specific regions. And we used to get a lot of cabbage out of Texas in the old days, and I'll never forget it because it was very white in color.
Yes.
Very compact and heavy. But right now in the stores, there is a lot of light, puffy cabbage.
It's interesting. I try to avoid those. And it's funny that New York grows them year-round. I know that because that's where I grew up, and we ate them year-round. So, all right, moving on to the next recipe. So it's still cold out. It's still nice to have a comforting, warm meal. And let's talk about that $10 or $12 huge head of cabbage that you bring home and you say, can't believe I paid this much for this, and now what am I going to do with it all? So you are going to do your St. Patrick's Day roast and coleslaw year-round and toppings for your tacos. How about a stir-fry? Oh, my God, stir-frying cabbage is amazing. Large, big pan, wok type, even a saucepan if you don't have it. You want to start by frying some onion. Fry some garlic. You want to fry all your hard vegetables for your stir fry first.
Let me ask you a question about frying those items, though. Onions and garlic. Because I've always had a hard time burning the garlic and frying the onions too much. So what kind of temperature, what do you use to fry the onions and the garlic in?
So you do want to use a oil that has a high smoke point. You don't have to use olive oil for that. So
avocado oil,
I was just going to say, is perfect. But you have to just watch it, Dan. I mean, you can't let it burn, right?
Well, okay, and so I can't just throw it on and walk away?
You can't just throw it on and walk away. And then you want to take it out. So this is the step that you're doing. You're seasoning that oil with the garlic and the onion.
Okay.
You watch. It doesn't have to be cooked or even brown. You just want to season your oil and break down the onion and the garlic till it's a little bit translucent. It can have some color, but it doesn't have to be fried crisp. You're not going to eat them that way. Take it out. Have 4 eggs scrambled, or 3 or 2 or 1, depending on how many you're feeding. Have that ready and scramble that in that oil. Just add that to the oil. Take that out. And then have your cut up cabbage. Add that to that oil. Toss it. Add your soy sauce, your sesame, and then add your soft vegetables. Add maybe your mushrooms if you want to, your red pepper, your yellow, orange pepper, any other vegetable, peas, beans. You can use your leftover vegetables that you have. Cook that up with your cabbage. Add some water, cover it. Let that cabbage steam and let those vegetables cook along with the cabbage. Maybe 10 minutes. Add salt.
But the egg and the onions and the garlic, they're not in there yet.
They're not in there
yet. Okay, all right.
Everything is cooking in the pan. You've got your cabbage and all your vegetables and the aroma. You've added salt because salt helps to cook.
Okay.
And then when everything is the texture you want it to be, it can be longer, it can be less, you sort of make a well in the middle of the pan.
Okay.
And you add back your eggs and your garlic and your onion, and then you mix it all together. I'm telling you.
What do you do with a fire as you put that
I always keep it on.
Just keep it the way
I
it
always
is?
Keep it the same. Okay. I never adjust never adjust the temperature, the flame, yes, because I use gas too. And I've never adjusted it from when I've started to when I'm finishing it. Now, once you toss all this together, add as much soy sauce as you want to taste, and then you can add your cilantro. This served with leftover rice, or you can make some rice noodles. Noodles. You toss that together with the egg, and you have a stir fry. I'm telling you, you're going to eat so much that you're going to say, how did I never do this before?
Do you put that over rice? What do you do?
I mix everything in to make it like a bowl.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Yeah.
You can
so you can put rice in there?
Yeah, you can even
put you can put rice and then put that over it.
Put
if
that
you
over
want.
It. You can add avocado to it. You can add chicken. You can add sausage.
What about corned beef?
You can add yes, there you go. Add your leftover corned beef.
Yeah, go for
actually,
it.
I think you can. So that is so good. That dish is amazing. And the next day, you make that into a frittata. And there you have
folks,
it. I mean, there's cabbage you can really eat all week long so many ways, and it keeps a long time. So if you only use half a head and then you say, oh, I never got to the second head of that cabbage, put in the refrigerator a week. Honestly, that cabbage can stay in your refrigerator for 2 to 3 weeks. You just thinly shave off the end.
Where it oxidizes.
Where it oxidizes. It turns brown.
Like the ones I just showed you. I just showed you
the
compact one and the puffy one.
Right.
And those were cut in half, and I cut those 3 days ago.
Right. And that's a good point that you said you cut them 3 days ago. You know, when you get your cabbage home, you don't have to make room for it in the refrigerator. Remember, in the old days, there weren't refrigerators.
Yeah.
That cabbage is perfectly fine sitting on your kitchen counter. Now, you do want to refrigerate it after it's cut, but it's not the end of the world if you forget. But when you see that brown oxidation on the side of your cabbage, and you really can just store it in the refrigerator in a used bag from the store, or you can put it in a big bowl, Ziploc, whatever you
Tupperware.
Have. Tupperware. That's what I use. I use a bowl with the lid.
Sure.
Shave it with your vegetable peeler. Just shave off the edge.
Oh, there you go. That way you're not cutting too much off of that oxidized side.
I watch people cut off the part that they're going to throw away, and they've cut off like a whole meal.
Well, because it's hard to gauge the knife sometimes.
That's right.
So that tip with the vegetable peeler is, all these years in produce, and I always say you learn something new, and here we go again.
That's
wow. That's just, I'd never even thought of that. And then you throw those shreds out in your compost, garden in the backyard,
exactly.
if you have that.
Exactly. Vegetable peeler is really good for cutting off the mold on cheese, too. I know people say, cheese with mold on it? Of course you do.
That's been going on for centuries. Yeah,
yes.
Right. You just, absolutely.
Last
that
thing
makes sense.
Right. Thank you for letting me talk all things cabbage. And now the next one is fennel.
Fenocchi? Is that what that's called?
Fenocchio. You were so close.
Okay.
Fennel is so good. It's so good for you.
It is another one that's very good
very
for you.
Very good. It's affordable. You can use almost all of it as well. The stalks are a little fibrous, but they are really good to make a vegetable stock. And the fronds, which are the little greens,
yes.
Beautiful for seasoning everything. If you save nothing more than the bulb, which is the head, and the fronds, which are the little green leaves, that's good. And the rest, of course, you could freeze for a stock. But let's talk about
or if you're a juicer, you can throw them in your juice.
I don't think about that. If you have a mandolin, or if you're really good with a knife, you just want to wash that fennel. Cut off about a quarter of an inch of the bottom base, because you will find that there's probably a lot of dirt trapped into the first layer.
Okay.
But just because it's bruised or scratched or a little brown or very dirty
doesn't mean it gets stained by the dirt too.
Right. Yeah. You don't need to throw it away. But you just want to be careful that you're not adding that when you're cutting it for your salad.
Sure.
That you're preparing,
you don't want to eat the dirt. Unless you're 2.5 years old and you're sitting outside.
But the outer generally traps it in there, so be careful.
Yes.
So then cut that bulb in half vertically, not horizontally, vertically, and then turn it on its side like you would an onion, and slice as thin as possible, and add it to a bowl, and use one whole lemon, about 3 to 4 tablespoons of olive oil and salt, and let that sit. Just toss it and let that sit.
Okay, for how long?
Again, longer the better. Half an hour, an hour, Really, right. You can leave it sit for an hour. Then when you're ready to eat it, you'll see all that liquid is in there. Drain that liquid out or save it for dressing. As you said earlier, you then add thinly sliced oranges or tangerines.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Slivered almonds, and you toss that together. That is such a delicious dish.
Cracked pepper. Maybe some sweet red onion, possibly.
Sure. Now, fennel, once you've cut it vertically, put it in the oven like you do the cabbage. Roast it till it caramelizes. Amazing. You won't even know that you're eating fennel. And all those pieces that fell off and that didn't go into your salad, you just munch on raw.
Yeah,
that outer piece, no reason to throw that away.
It's so refreshing, too.
So good for your stomach.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, fennel has a lot of health benefits. I'm not going to go into them now just for the sake of time.
You can add fruit, you know. You can thinly slice an apple or a pear.
Sure.
Mandolin works beautifully. But this fennel salad that you make, your guests are going to say, oh, my God, I never really knew how to eat that. And that's how you eat that.
That's a good point, because people don't. Fennel is sold to just people who know it, and that's it.
Right.
But if people start experimenting with it more and trying out this amazing recipe that you just gave everybody, holy smoke.
A very popular dish in Italy. You get it everywhere. It's fennel with orange slices or supreme, you know, where you carefully cut out just the meat of the orange from the outer membrane.
Yes.
Supreme it and use that juice, and green Castelvetrano olives. You go to a restaurant, they're serving that all the time. Fennel, oranges, and olives is just an amazing dish, and I make that all the time. But I add what I have. If I have a really good apple, which apples in season right now are so amazing. I know you were talking about apples earlier. They're so good.
Yes.
A mandolin, if you're careful, just slices everything so beautifully.
Right.
And it makes that dish, and it's such a good side dish with meats. I mean, it's a meal in and of itself. But if you're looking for something different to serve your guests, and you see these beautiful heads of fennel at your farmer's market or your corner market, then pick them up and try them. You know what? You can find anything on the internet. You can just Google what to do with fennel. This recipe will be there, and you will be happy about it.
Yeah, but you're getting it here.
That's right.
Which is on the internet, directly from Vera. And I think that if you took a avocado that's ripe, but firm ripe, not guacamole ripe or soft ripe, but with a little give, and slice that up and threw that in or on the side, that might be good with
Beautiful.
It, too. Yeah, it reminds me.
If you're a vegetarian, that makes a great taco.
Oh man, there you go. That's another one. Because I like to take leftover salad, throw it into a tortilla, roll it up, and eat it like a burrito.
Same here. So, I've made a mortadella taco. So.
Oh, that's great.
I have a picture of it.
There we go. Mortadello tacos, folks.
I made a mortadella taco. I think anything can go into a taco shell.
That's true. You say that again. Wow. Well, Vera, it's been great having you here today.
Thank you
for coming into the studio and doing this here live. Sure enjoyed it. And for all you folks out there, St. Patrick's Day, tell folks where to find you one more time on Instagram.
La Cucina de Vera. LACUCINADIVERA.
All right. You won't be disappointed, folks. That's for sure. Hey, folks, be sure to tune in to the Produce Industry Podcast every Monday with Patrick Kelly, as well as the Produce Industry Show on YouTube and the Produce Industry app. You got to have that. Download that now on your smartphone, on your smartwatch, on your tablet, and wherever else you can download apps too. Hey, the History of Produce series with John Papp. The Global Fresh series with Juanita Gallio. It's all right here under the Produce Industry Podcast umbrella. And don't forget to check out my YouTube and Rumble channels called Dan the Produce Man, because there's some brand new videos up there, at least 5 new ones that I've posted, and some quality assurance ones for some of you folks out there who might be doing some QA receiving. Anyway, until next week, this is Dan the Produce Man reminding you that it's always best when you get it fresh.
You've been listening to Fresh from the Field Fridays with Dan the Produce Man. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or Anchor to get fresh weekly episodes. For more, please follow us on Instagram and Facebook at The Produce Industry Podcast and at Dan the Produce Man. Until next time, see you in the fields or on the horizon.